Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Kevin Walsh here, The Kevin Walsh Show, a Sports Grid podcast, back with you heading into a big-time football weekend where the NFL board features a Super Bowl rematch and the college football board features a ton of ranked action. Not alone, though, on this Friday. I brought in a friend to help us out, talk through both of these cards a little bit. He was here with us for the running back and wide receiver rankings over the summer. It's Chris Kofsky. Chris, how we feeling?
Kevin, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad me constantly pushing my cards on GTD and you getting annoyed led to this. I mean, endgame all.
Yeah, honestly, it's a smooth move by you. You know, the backstory is Chris is the EP, the executive producer of Game Time Decisions. And on a nightly basis, along with prepping the things we need for the show, he's like, you also probably need my picks. And he's done, let's be clear, you've done a pretty good job making your picks a staple of that program. It's not like they aren't heavily featured.
No. I mean, that's the whole point. And, you know, I get everyone else involved too. So it's not a selfish move. So.
You're man of the people, man of the people. We're going to get to the college football card. We're going to go through the big games. We'll do a little bit of look ahead to, again, some of the top spots in the NFL this weekend. But we begin with Thursday night football, where the Green Bay Packers, as a field goal favorite, win 27-18. Jordan Love threw for, I think, over 200 passing yards in the first half of that game. Multiple passing touchdowns overall. Josh Jacobs, 23 carries on a Thursday night. Tucker Kraft was a monster. Jaden Daniels had maybe the worst game of his NFL career. I know there were some tweets out there kind of from an efficiency perspective. It was undeniably the worst game of his career. So the reactions are out in full force to what does this game mean? Unsurprisingly, I said this would happen on the TV side of things, Chris. The Packers are now co-favorites to win the NFC in some spots with the Eagles. I'll go to you. What was your takeaway seeing Green Bay kind of dominate the Commanders on Thursday?
I think the Commanders will be frauds, honestly. Like there was always this speculation coming in this year, the sophomore slump. It happens to a lot of quarterbacks. They just played a team who they should be in the same tier as. If they want to win a Super Bowl, they want to make a run in the playoffs, they're going to have to play the Packers. They're going to have to hang with the Packers. If this was like a one-score game at the end where it was like really close back and forth, like the score makes it seem a little closer than it was. Like the Packers just absolutely dominated, sort of throwing the ball in the fourth quarter, just trying to put up points. Like the Commanders didn't stand a chance. They were flat, no rhythm in the offense with Daniels and his receivers. I mean, Debo got it going in the last drive. McLaurin once again basically shut down. No running game. They just lost Eckler for the season. Like, I was not impressed whatsoever with the Commanders. Like, I thought they were going to come out there, Kev. I spoke about it with you yesterday. I was like, they might be winning this game, laid off of it. But, like, they showed zero life. They were not competitive in a team they need to be competitive with. And I'm scared for the Commanders now. Like, fraud alert on the Commanders right now after that game.
I like the take. I think it's a brave one that not many people are willing to go with. I think you're seeing, again, a lot of Super Bowl parades for the second week in a row being thrown in Green Bay because they were dominant in the win. And we'll dissect that Green Bay piece of it. But for Washington, it is concerning because Cliff Kingsbury is a very he can be a divisive coordinator. There are people who absolutely love him and think he's fantastic, and he had a lot of good moments last year. There was also a mid-season stretch where things were pretty messy on that side of the ball. And Chris, you know, you're online as much as I am. I'm sure you saw that there was a lot of blowback last night to the game that Cliff Kingsbury was calling. And whether it's Cliff's fault or Jaden Daniels' fault, I agree at the minimum this is a vulnerable Commanders team. It is one of the reasons that despite the inability for teams to repeat as NFC East divisional champs, I thought this would be the year the Eagles would do it because I didn't think Washington had enough in the tank, and you know Dallas and the Giants are seen as really a tier below either one of these football teams. My biggest beef, and maybe it doesn't matter that much, but I'm furious that Jaden Daniels is still 10-1 to win league MVP. Like, he didn't even move back. He was awful in the game. Mahomes should be in front of him. Herbert should be in front of him. Burrow should be in front of him. Jalen Hurts, of course, should be in front of Jaden Daniels. He ends up staying strong in the market. You know, you obviously, you know, you agree with me on that. On the Packers side of it, this is one of those things where it's all about what your expectations, I think, can be for the game. Because I feel, Chris, for people, you know this, there's a lot of people who were on Washington. You were considering it, you backed off, but we had some people, you know, across the network, across a number of platforms who were all in on Washington. And I feel like those people are, you know, this morning kind of, whoa, maybe the Packers are better than we realized. As somebody who was on Green Bay, I see it a little differently.
Yeah, me too. And obviously, I had the Packers going to the Super Bowl. Like, that was my pick was, you know, Packers, Ravens, Ravens winning. So I saw it from the Packers. I said that before the Parson trade. I have a ticket on them to make the playoffs. Like, Kev, they might be that good. And I know they started off hot last year and then Love got hurt. I mean, losing Jaden Reed, that might be big. Christian Watson's coming back, but like, they're never fully healthy at receiver. Matthew Golden looked pretty good yesterday. Love just couldn't find him, so maybe they figure that out. This Packers team is good. Jordan Love looks great. The defense is great. And besides Parsons, they have Nixon. They have Gary. Like, they have Edrin Cooper. They have other pieces around Parsons. Like, they were a good defense coming in. Now they're a great defense. The offense is there. Jacobs is a workhorse. Like, the Packers are going to be a really good team. And, like, it shows it. They're minus what? Minus 150 now to win the North after two games? The other teams didn't even play yet. Like, they were minus 110 going into that game, and now they're minus 150. So, you know, people are showing the respect to the Packers. And one more thing about the Commanders, Kev. Like, here's the next few games. Versus the Raiders. The Raiders look pretty good. We'll see more when they play the Chargers this week. At the Falcons, good team. At the Chargers versus the Bears. Like, the Commanders might be in real trouble now starting 1-1 and playing that bad versus the Packers.
Yeah, that, I think that that's possible. It's a point well made. I think that this could be a team. I struggle to believe that they're going to end up with like six wins. I'm not saying you think that, right? Where a lot of this is going to end up coming down to tiebreakers, right? But it makes the game against the Bears, the game against the Cowboys, the games against the Falcons, those are going to be really, really important because that feels like the wild card race or potential wild card race teams. To the Packers piece of it, Chris, I'm not telling you that the Packers can't be. Are the Packers a contender? Yes. Yes, okay? It's week two, so that list should be a little bit longer than shorter. But as someone who was on Green Bay both week one and week two, right? It's not like, I don't bet every single side, right? Like, they are one of my favorite sides in week one, favorite sides in week two. I think this group has the making of at least an early season, but regular season juggernaut. Because I've seen that before from the Packers. I think this is one of the most forgotten things sometimes when discussing Green Bay. Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers just kept ripping off 13-win seasons, number one seeds, and then falling short. That is a real thing that really happened. And I understand it is, it's hard to win a Super Bowl or it's hard to make a Super Bowl, whatever it might be. Yes, but like, he had the league MVP. And they lost at home to Tampa Bay in a conference championship game and then lost a divisional round game off a bye to Garoppolo and the 49ers. So the reality for me is a lot of people are going to be running to bet Green Bay in the futures market, Chris. Like, again, you're in early. You've got a good ticket on you. Win the Super Bowl, win a conference, whatever, best record, one seed, all these things. I'm not doing that. It's going to be almost impossible for Green Bay to convince me that they should be Super Bowl favorites. But I'll tell you where I am already looking. Next week, Green Bay at Cleveland. That line's out. It's -7. I am now hoping the Browns cover against the Ravens. Let's get a 6.5. Let's hope the Browns are the sharp side. I'll be the wheel. Me and the public will bet the Packers at least through the first 4 weeks of the season. And I think there's a legit chance we're sitting 4-0 against the number.
Yeah, the Packers are your Houston Astros of the NFL. You love the Packers.
It's true.
You can resist them 2 times so far. But you're right. Like, if you wanted to bet the Packers in any future market, like, should have done it before the season started. Should have done it before the Parsons trade. Could have got a little bit of value after the Parsons trade if you were now all in. But, like, the value's gone. Like, at this point, if you want to invest in the Packers, you wait. And like you just talked about, there might be a point where they lose 2 or 3 games in a row.
Yeah.
And then it's like, whoa, they're dropping, and they get right. Wait till then. But there's no value in betting the Packers now. And they're honestly, great point. They don't have the pedigree and the experience to prove you that they should bet this team.
Not at the numbers that you're currently seeing, nope. Right? And again, there's a lot of talent there. Also, like, just the crowning of this defense. It's going to be interesting to watch this Micah Parsons DPOY award race, because Parsons he feels due for one. And this number's already, you know, down to +410. As somebody on a Bosa ticket, which, you know, has decent value already, like, I think my best bet for Bosa is this becomes a two-man race, because Parsons, like, Chris, I know you watched the game last night. We all watched the game. He is the talking point. Every single time he's out there, it's all they can talk about. I'm not saying it's not warranted, but, like, Micah Parsons is one of the 7 biggest stories of this NFL season, probably higher than that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, every time they cut to him, it's a cutout of Parsons. They highlight him. Mm-hmm. Something he said with Jerry. It's him after the post game. Like, he is the focal point of that defense, rightfully so. And they're going to want to give him a DPOY too, right? Like, if he just plays like the way he's playing right now, mm-hmm. like, they're going to be like, let's give it to him. Great story. I mean, screw the Cowboys. They traded him, goes to the Packers. Packers win the division. Packers get the number 1 or number 2 seed in the NFC. Like, let's just give it to Parsons. Like, it's truly his award to lose.
And here's something that works against my Bosa ticket. So here are the list of guys who have won DPOY multiple times. Lawrence Taylor, J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald are the only guys who have won it 3 times. Wow. And then it's Joe Green, Mike Singletary, Bruce Smith, Reggie White, Ray Lewis. Like, you are talking about, the 10 best defensive players of all time kind of thing. Does Nick Bosa belong on that list? Right? That's what's working against me. Does TJ Watt belong on that list? I don't know. Myles Garrett, I would say actually yes, but like, the point is, the bar to win this award a second time is be like a first ballot dripping in gold Hall of Famer. That's Parsons winning one of them is like a certainty. It's, you know, is anybody else in this league worthy of getting this award twice?
Yeah, no, that's a great stack, great point. And like, he's going to get one. And why not? Like I said, the narrative this year, it's his award to lose, right? Like,
yeah.
He gets double digit sacks, couple forced fumbles, right? Like, what does he have? 2.5 sacks ready this season? I know he got a half one yesterday. I think he had a full one, maybe 1.5. He has.
Yeah, well, I think one and a half probably. Yeah.
Like, it's just, gets a double-digit sacks, couple forced fumbles, wins a big game for the Packers. Like, mm-hmm. It's going to be his award.
And the overall defense is going to, everything is going to be his credit. I'm not saying it's not deserved, but sometimes that doesn't happen. This will be a situation where it happens. All right, that's Thursday Night Football. This weekend, now, you guys know this, I host Pro Football Today on Sports Grid, so, you know, I'll lock stuff in. We're going to cover some things, but Chris has a couple of things already on the board, so we'll get to that. I just want to start, though, with Eagles-Chiefs, because this is obviously, it's one of the biggest games we're going to see this year. And it's a Super Bowl rematch, and that was always going to make it a big game. But now you add the factor in that the Kansas City Chiefs are 0-1. If they lose, they'll be 0-2 for the first time in the Mahomes era. And they are favored to lose. Albeit slight, they are favored to lose this football game. And that is something that is a little frustrating to me. Again, people know this, but I think as I've grown more and more into the job that I have, I've become more numbers driven. So it matters to me, when one team is minus one instead of the other team being minus one. Just, you know, Ravens Bills is a prime example of that. As silly as that might sound, it matters to me. And I really like the spot for Philadelphia. The price is a little irritating, but Chris knows this. You know, Sam Yarnell obviously comes on the show, and he was quick to point out it's the second time Mahomes has been a home dog. The first time he lost to Buffalo. So maybe it's one of those situations where if that's the number, it's the number for a reason. That's kind of setting the deck. Where are you at right now on a Friday, Chris, for Chiefs-Eagles?
I can't get to a side here, Kevin. Like, I was on the Chiefs last week against the Chargers. That was the right side. Worthy gets knocked out of the game. They look lifeless on offense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird spot for me because the Eagles are the better team, right? But my narrative last week was the last time the Chiefs were on TV, they got embarrassed by the Eagles. They're going to smack the Chargers. That didn't happen. Now they're playing the team that absolutely embarrassed them on national TV. And like, is there something about Mahomes and Reed where like other people say it doesn't matter? Like that matters. That matters a lot to Andy Reid because of his ties to Philadelphia. He's not going to forget that. The narrative around Mahomes is he's regressing. He's not going to forget that. Travis Kelce is not going to forget that in his final goodbye tour. So I see reasons why the Eagles are going to win. I see reasons why the Chiefs are going to win. I can't get to a side, but Kevin, I can get to this total. I like points in this game. I like points in this game.
Okay.
And I'm trying to play the narrative of three ways this game could happen, right? One, Chiefs make a statement. They run the score up. Two, close game. You only need 47 points, two good offenses, 27-20. Who says no? Or third option, Eagles dominate again and hang a 40 burger. Just need 17 points from the Chiefs. I think we get there. I really do. I know both defenses are solid, but like the Eagles in the first half last week before that delay or giving up points, Chiefs defense giving up some points. The real question is, can the Chiefs score without Xavier Worthy because he's playing this game? That's kind of the biggest question here, but it's so light for such high power offenses, I feel.
So a couple things that I would say lean your direction. The total is sitting at like 46.5, which is a little bit lower than the Super Bowl, which I would think both defenses, at least through 1 week of football, seem a little bit worse than they were in the Super Bowl, right? Eagles were the best defense by a country mile. They're a really good defense. I don't know if they're the best defense. KC's defense was super vulnerable in week one to the Chargers. So I think that absolutely works in your favor, that you're getting a lower total, right? Overall, here's the other thing. And this is something that I think's played a bit of a factor in some of my analysis for this game. But the Eagles-Cowboys game before the rain delay was on pace for 60 points. Like the live total was in the 60s. And like I've heard a lot of people, you know this, Chris, have been like, oh, the Eagles were bad in that game. The Eagles were bad in that game. And I'm like, I think the reason why I feel so differently than people on that game is everything post-rain delay I kind of don't care about. Right. The Eagles scored on every single possession. Rain delay, three and out. Come on. Like, clearly that threw things off. We just didn't get points again, basically, in the football game. Did we get any points after that? Maybe three? I think maybe we had a field goal, I think it was.
No, I don't think we did.
I don't think
we got a single point.
So what would this total be if that game was 35-31 instead of 24-20, right? Like, I think that becomes a legitimate question as far as backing the over goes, like you're mentioning. I think the total is probably a bit lower because the Chiefs are banged up on the offensive side of the football, and that's where we just, when you look at the spot, is Kansas City healthy? Not at all. I mean, it's pretty brutal for this football team to be going into this game without Worthy and without Rashee Rice. Yes, the Eagles are likely to miss Dallas Goedert, but Jalen Carter gets to play. Again, a lot of that's been, it's like, Dallas defense looked good. Jalen Carter didn't play the entire game. I think that's a bonus. And this is something, so it's, you know, this is maybe a little nerdy, but like I have my little notebook, Chris, for the podcast, right? And literally every episode is all in one Google Doc. I'll probably need to change that. The very first thing, the very first, like, thing that I put in here was how the Chiefs got screwed by the league for having to play the Eagles in week two at a rest disadvantage. I cannot believe that a team coming back from Brazil is at a rest disadvantage, but they are. And I think that really matters. So I like the Philly spot. There's a part of me that wonders if I kind of sidestep it, meet you in the middle, Eagle team total it. But I'm just starting to feel like this is a Philly spot. Let me ask you this, though, as far as this game goes. If the Chiefs lose, what's the panic meter? Like 1 to 10. What's the worries in KC?
It's going to be pretty high, right? I mean, it's never happened before, so that's like reasonable to be like, whoa, how do we handle this spot? Mahomes era, never been 0-2, right? And then it doesn't get much easier. Giants, cool, you can get back, and then you play Baltimore right away. So if they do lose that game, things can get real sloppy for them. I don't know if it'll be full panic, though, because, you know, they're still a great team. They're still a well-coached team. They understand why they're losing, right? Like, Rashee Rice is suspended, Xavier Worthy, you know, out. You played the Chargers in Brazil, tough spot. You're playing the Eagles, reigning Super Bowl champions, tough spot. So, like, it's not like they were like, okay, we're going to lose to the Titans, then we're going to lose to the Browns, we're 0-2, and now what happens, right? Like, they're losing to two really good teams in two tough spots. So, like, as far as unfamiliar territory, eyebrow raising, panic mode, no. But things might not be looking great for the division, especially if the Chargers win in Las Vegas this week. Because, like I said, that Ravens game, if they do lose and they beat the Giants, then you're 1-3. Then it's like, now it's time to panic. Like, I think after that Baltimore game, they lose and they go, end up being 1-3, panic alarm sign for the Chiefs. But I can't see full panic if they lose to the Eagles. It depends how they lose, though, too, right? Like, last year's Super Bowl, sound the alarm. Close game, they lose by 3-7. All right, listen, we're missing pieces. Tough game. It is what it is. We played better. But
yeah, I agree that the nature. So, okay, if they getting blown out is obviously worse than losing close. But if they lose close, it points to things that I know I was saying a lot last year of the fact that they win every close game is a bit lucky. Like, yes, give Mahomes and Reed credit for being on their P's and Q's, but these things might reverse. And if they have – are now going to be on the wrong side of one score games like Cincinnati was last year, well, then the offense is just going to have to be way better. And the offense is going to have to go up a level and start hanging 30 with regularity. You know, I'm not saying Mahomes was bad by any stretch in week number one. I don't think he was as amazing as I've heard some people suggest. He was really good on the ground. This is a football team that was going to have 3 points at half until Amari and Hampton went out of bounds. They were able to snag another field goal, and they were going to get left under 20 if it wasn't for the fourth down. Again, amazing Mahomes play, but the, you know, broken play, Hollywood Brown down the stretch. And this is the thing. This is why I think there's a level of panic. Is last year's Kansas City's offense was the problem, if you were being honest with yourself, and week one didn't solve that. And anyone with a Chiefs ticket or a Chiefs fan is like, I don't care about week one, two. I care about the playoffs when Rashee Rice will be out there. Oh, I expect Xavier Worthy to be healthy. Maybe they'll make a trade. I think that there's some validity to that. But, like, again, how saying the Chiefs could be 1-3 would have been laughable before they lost to the Chargers. It's not as laughable because here's the reality. If they lose to Philadelphia, Chris, and then we'll get to another game, they're going to be home dogs to Baltimore too. Not a doubt in my mind.
1,000%. Yeah. And like biggest thing for the Chiefs too, is they need to get the running game going.
Like, I can't believe that they're not using Pacheco more.
No, but it's like,
how did he finish that game with five carries?
It's but like Hunt went 5 for 16. Like ever since that injury Pacheco came back from last year, he has not been the same. And I think that's like a big part of that offense. It's like, if you're not running the ball, there's no play action for Mahomes, right? Mm-hmm. With the play action, Kelce gets open in the middle field. He gets lost, right? Hollywood Brown with the speed gets open. They can't get a running game going, and they're becoming so one-dimensional. And when you're losing your receivers, we're going to go into this game with possibly no Xavier Worthy, obviously no Rashee Rice, and it's Hollywood Brown and his Juju Smith-Schuster. It's not that hard of a matchup for the defense. Like, those guys aren't great to begin with. Hollywood Brown is a number three wide receiver who is now expected to be a number one. He played great last week, but, like, it might not happen again. They need to get the running game going. Pacheco's got to go for 60, 60 plus yards and score a touchdown here. They need that. And I think if the running game gets going, that'll create more things for Mahomes in the offense. But until then, they're one dimensional.
Last thing, and then on Game Time Decisions, Chris and I, you know, worked together to come up with a segment called Target Player Props. The Saquon Barkley rushing number was something we talked about. It's 85 and a half right now. I'm not saying it's cheap. I am interested, though. Like, he just doesn't really get bottled up in back-to-back games. You have to imagine. Like, I don't know. I know, like, sometimes it's not in a running back's control, but it's on his mind. I know they won the Super Bowl, that the Chiefs absolutely, you know, bottled him up in the Super Bowl. Like, I'm going to be interested in Saquon. Maybe I'll play some alts, like, oh, if he's going to break it, he's going to break it. But I'm a little interested, just curious from you, especially if you like the over. Like, is there a guy you would want to be targeting in the props market?
You kind of got me on Barkley. Like, I wonder, yeah, like, could we get a first half rushing total on him? Right? Like
what I think you're DK saying, posts those. Let me look. Go ahead.
Like, what you're saying is, we saw the stats, right? It's like 157.3 yards per game after going under the 70 rushing yards, right? So he's explosive. You just said it. The Chiefs shut him down in the Super Bowl. He knows that. He's mad about it. Like, maybe he just starts this game super hot, goes for like 60 yards in the first half, right? And if he gets shut down, doesn't get to that 85 number, finishes with like 80, 81, like, you're still a winner, maybe a longest rush. But what was the prop in this game? Like, I didn't really dive that deep into it. I mean, for the narrative, like, Pacheco to score a rushing touchdown, right? Like, they just gave up two to Javonte Williams last week. I know Jalen Carter was out of that game, so maybe that changes it. But, like, you just said it. They need to get the running game going.
Legit.
In the red zone, you're lacking targets with no worthy Rashee Rice. Run the ball with Pacheco. Give him a little screen. Get something going. I mean, you could go both running backs, two to score in this game. Pacheco and Barkley, it's not bad. You can go to the bounce back spots with A.J. Yeah. Brown, Devontae Smith. But, you know, who do you want to choose with? I was a guy who was high on Devontae Smith coming to the year. Mm-hmm. Was on him week one. Don't feel very comfortable about that now. I don't know which side I would go to with a wide receiver here.
Yeah, that, like, I'm even, like, one of the reasons I like the Eagles is I think they have offensive players due for big games, like A.J. and Saquon. We'll see where we settle up, though, come Sunday. A game you wanted to talk about, there's the Miami side, there's the New England side. Man, we'll do the Miami side because then we can get to some of the picks and stuff that you're really targeting. But for the Dolphins, a loss here would mean what, Chris?
They're the worst team in football. Like, I don't know. I already think that. Like, I was on them last week, right? And I know, and like, kind of tie it into the Broncos Colts game when I was doing my notes. It was, I don't think the Colts are that good. That game didn't make me think the Colts are good. It made me now believe that Miami actually might be the worst team in football. They're holding a players only meeting after week one. Tyreek Hill does not want to be there anymore. Tua throwing picks left and right. McDaniel knows he's on the hot seat. I think everyone in Miami's sick of him too. Like, just the way he holds himself, the way he presents himself, like, it's just not working. It was fun and it was cute when he first came on. You're not winning. It's not a thing anymore. Like, this is a really, really bad spot for me for the Dolphins too, because I think the Pats were going to lose last week. They did. Mike Vrabel's like, I'm not starting 0-2. I just think it's a really, really bad spot. And I do think the Dolphins are in a lot of trouble. Like, if they go down, if they lose this game, then maybe they're 0-3. Like, give me a ticket on them to be the worst team in football. Like, that might happen, especially if they deal Tyreek too. Who else do they got?
Yeah, I think the wheels could fall off here. It's a team that I actually, in some preseason notes, thought like they could be some value to be the worst team in the league. But I figured, you are going to need a Tua injury, not a week of football, right? And here's what I'll say. If they lose to New England, they'll give Mike McDaniel Thursday night at Buffalo. If they get abused, especially, I actually really do think he's gone through 3 weeks. If they are 0-3, I think he's done after 3 weeks. I don't think that's an overreaction at all.
No, not at all.
You know this, Chris. I did my season-long player props. I bet Jalen Waddle's over because I think Tyreek Hill's going to be traded. Like, that was one of the ways that I was betting on Tyreek being dealt. It's funny, man. They said the Steelers and the Chiefs have already made phone calls about Tyreek. Here's the thing, man. Like, I know we're talking about, like, Kansas City's being down, but we still respect the Chiefs, and I think the league does. If you're Buffalo, if you're Baltimore, if you're Cincinnati, if you're the Chargers, and Tyreek is out there, you need to make a phone call and see if you can just keep him out of Kansas City. Because that will be a huge boost for that football team to get Tyreek back. Because he will be on his P's and Q's there. That relationship is still there. Like, if you're the Chargers and you trade for Tyreek Hill, it's not that you, it's not just you got Tyreek, it's you kept him out of Kansas City.
Yeah, great point. I mean, if he goes to Kansas City, like, things are going to change. Like, he'll be like, look at me, I'm so fast, again, scoring double-digit touchdowns. Like, that's what he wants. Like, you know so bad that he's like, please, 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 please trade me to Kansas City.
Yep.
Please trade me back. I don't know. Does he have no trade clause, though? Like, those things get weird where he has to, like, approve a trade where, like, he might be like, I'm only going to go back to the Chiefs. So, like, either you keep me and I'm, like, this headache or you bring me to the Chiefs where I want to go.
Let's see if this loads. I don't think he has a no trade.
He's going to get moved, though. Like it, as we're talking about it, so similar to the Devontae Adams trade last year, right? Like, no, we're not going to trade him. We're not going to trade him. The Raiders are bad. Let's trade him. Where's he going? Yes. Right? It's the disgruntled veteran wide receiver wanting to go play with a friend, a familiar system. Why not? Right? And, like, the Dolphins would be like, the Dolphins are such a weird team. Like, they did it with Minkah Fitzpatrick, right? They'd be like, listen, we'll trade you Tyreek Hill with some of the draft picks back that we gave up for him, too. Everything's all good now. We look a lot better. There you go. The Dolphins are weird like that.
Also, like, if McDaniel's fired and Tyreek is traded, I don't know what that means for Tua, who was paid not that long ago. Like, whoever they hire in the offseason has to stick with Tua. Things are going to get weird in Miami. Let's talk about some picks, some things you like. You have been circling a New England skill position player for days now. Tell the people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all over just a target player props on Wednesday. Love Trevion Henderson. But I'm trying to figure out, Kev, where to bet it, and I want your help with this, right? So initially, I was like, rush receiving number, they're on to us, 58.5. You know, I like to play the alt markets with some parlays. 50-plus rush receiving minus 192. Don't love that. So then I go to his receiving prop, 18.5, very bettable at a straight number. 15-plus receiving yards, minus 172, great for a parlay piece. Or 3 receptions at minus 178, 6 for 24 last week. So, like, I love the rushing receiving. I wanted to get involved with it. The number's too high, but I feel there's great value. And I want to know what you think. Either is 15-plus receptions at minus 172 for a parlay piece, 15-plus receiving yards, or 3-plus receptions at minus 178. Like, to me, there's value.
I think the receiving yards, Chris, really so. Yesterday, as we're recording this, I bet a college running back over his receiving prop who had 4 receptions. Finished the Smotherman. Finished with negative 1 yards. So that can happen. And obviously, it's incredibly frustrating. But Trevion Henderson is better than Hollywood Smothers. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. Trevion having Smothers. 6 catches in week 1 is the story to me. Again, 4 yards a reception. When you look at it, his college career was 11 yards a reception. I think that's the market to attack. I really do. Because I don't think there's a game script where he's not involved in the receiving game. So if you had to narrow the lens, like, that is the one that really jumps out to me because, listen, I'm sure that these teams are – Trevion Henderson, despite being a second-round rookie running back, I am sure is a legitimate part of the game plan going into New England Patriot games because they don't have – you know, how much time can you spend on Stephon Diggs, right?
Right.
And I'm sure the teams are ready that when he's out there, he's going to be involved in the screen game. But Josh McDaniels can get creative, and I'm sure he likes a pass-catching back. So that, for me, Chris, it's the receiving game. It would be the yards that, for me, again, though, this is someone who watched Hollywood Smothers go 4 for negative 1.
Yeah, I mean, 20-plus, minus 104. Very bettable number straight.
Yep.
25-plus, plus 146. You're right, though. Like, the receptions one, like last week, if you were on his reception prop, it works in your favor. Right? He gets 6 for 24. He still definitely goes over his receiving prop. It's 18.5 this week. But you said it. He's explosive. So why? Like, what if the Patriots rout the Dolphins in this game and Trevion Henderson gets 1 catch for a 45-yard touchdown and then they run the ball with him and Stevenson because that's all they need to do? I kind of like taking the receptions out of the equation here because I do think it's not going to be a Hollywood smother situation where he gets negative yards here. Like, he's going to get a couple of catches, and they're going to be bigger. The 24 yards, like, that's, you're right. It's not really his game. Yeah. Like, he, in Ohio State, when he caught the passes, it was for big plays and explosive plays, not really the reception. So, I just, this is just, like, literally one of my favorite, like, favorite player prop yardage spots this week is Trevion Henderson. Because this might also be the lowest you ever see his number. Like, if he does what you and I both think he's going to do, where he catches four catches at least for 45 yards, runs the ball for 37 yards, you will never see his receiving prop at this number again.
No, he's right. This is also officially the Hollywood Smothers podcast. There's no way. I'm probably... He's a plus 520 for 100+ rush receiving. I'm going to take a look at that. I think it's on the board. I think it's on the board. I just think, like, I don't know, him having like a 70 yard play in either area is on the board. NFL wise, there's a number of sides that I'm continuing to track. The Jags Bengals game went down to -3 in one spot for like 25 minutes. It's back up to 3.5 everywhere. I'm interested in Cincy, but I'm going to be greedy and see if that number continues to tick down. I might back Mac Jones. That's a flat 3 in New Orleans. I think there's a case to be made there. I am hoping against hope. There's almost no way, but the Lions number keeps on popping. I'm wondering, could that get to 7? We're at 6.5 now, as often as we are at 6. I don't know if the Steelers will get back down to 2.5, but betting against Sam Darnold might be the wave until Jalen Milroe takes that job from him. Any thoughts on any of those sides, Chris, or anything else for week 2 in the NFL you're looking at?
So the sides, I'm pretty chalky this week. Like, love the Cowboys -4.5 against the Giants. Giants are just, they're shot. They want to lose too. They want an excuse to play Jackson Dart. Broncos Colts game, tying back to the Miami thing, overreaction on the line for me, right? Like, Denver struggles against Tennessee. The Colts absolutely smash Miami. 2.5 now, home dogs. Like, the Colts are 2.5-point home dogs. Broncos are getting 2.5 on the road. I like the Broncos in this spot. They're clearly the better team to me. Bad game last week. I think they have a big bounce back spot. Overreaction line there for me. Yeah, best bet. Tell the missus. Tune into the Kevin Walsh podcast. She's going to love this. Buccaneers money line.
Whoa! She will love that.
Love the Buccaneers this week, Kev. I don't even know.
Like, Monday, Chris.
Like, I don't want to go deep into this, but like, what do you think about the Texans? Like, I don't know if they're good anymore. Like, I truly don't think they are an explosive, fun, good team anymore.
You know I'm a Stroud guy, but I think they punted on offensive line, and I don't think you can do that and not pay a price. I think their defense is good, but I'm not sure it's good enough. I'm also one of the low guys on DeMeco Ryans. I think, like, relative to other – like, when they were the year – did he win? No, he lost, actually, to Stefanski, coach of the year. But the year they made the playoffs, winning the division – I was like one of like probably 6 people on earth who bet them to win the division. So I somewhat saw that coming. And I think there's just, I don't know, like, if he's, I just think there's a level of conservatism still within this offense that throws me off a little bit. So I think Tampa Bay is tempting. I would say this, like, I'm sure you're ready to bet money line. This feels like it's got a shot to close 3. Now it's 2.5 everywhere. But that's a Monday game, and I'm just curious, can we get there? So I'll likely be holding out. We've got a couple of good Monday. We have the Monday doubleheader again. The Chargers are actually popping at 3.5, which I'm a little surprised about going into Vegas. So I think that's going to be interesting. Anything NFL-wise, Chris, you want to discuss, or we'll shoot over to the college card?
Yeah, a couple more to discuss.
Okay.
Bears-Lions. Favorite touchdown score of the day is there. It's Jahmyr Gibbs.
There you go.
Gibbs-Lamb, touchdown parlay. Favorite play. But, Kev, the over in the Bears-Lions game. I love it.
Yeah, like, it makes plenty of sense.
Like, it's high 40s, but it's not at 50s. I feel like this should be like a 50 total. Like, Ben Johnson against his former team, absolutely want to run it up the score or try to run up the score. They put up some points last week against Minnesota. Caleb Williams needs to have a bounce back. On the other side, Lions absolutely embarrassed, zero offense against the Packers. They're a home debut. They want to light up the score. They also have beef with Ben Johnson. Like, not real beef, but, like, the conversation. It's a rivalry game. Ben Johnson, the Lions. Like, I think both teams want to run the score up. I think there'll be very little defense in this game. Like, I am very intrigued on this total. Like, it is my favorite total on the board.
So, that total is now checking in around 46.5. I would just say this. I only bet one over in the whole opening week. It was the Rams-Texans game, lost. I had one under, which was Pats-Raiders, which won. I don't know how many totals I'll play, but at 46.5, like, I'm not mad at the number you're getting. I think the offenses have a lot more to prove than the defenses in that game. You've kind of alerted me to the Jahmyr Gibbs touchdown price, even if it's just a parlay piece, but it could be something to keep tabs on for those who are playing touchdowns and whatnot. I think that there absolutely could be. Like, I may do, you know what? Let me see if I can click this right now. What do we think a Jahmyr Gibbs touchdown Bears plus 10.5 parlay would look like? Let's see. Gibbs is plus minus 170 on DK. Let's see if we can run this up here. Plus 156 because they're going against each other. So hold on. Let's get greedy. What if we get to 14.5? Plus 116.
That's still really good.
That might be a little sneaky sizzle. That's probably a podcast exclusive, is what I'll say.
Yeah, one more total. Ready?
Yeah.
39.5 Seahawks Steelers.
No, stop.
No. Hear me out. Last week was like, this Jets-Steelers game's a dead under. Mm-hmm. They explode for points. It's 2 points higher than that total was last week. I'm almost like, maybe this is the time. Maybe bet it over.
No, I think it's the other way. Sounds like a zag under. Two points.
I don't know.
Seattle's offense is worse than the Jets, and I think their defense might be better than the Jets, and we're 2 points higher.
I don't know.
It just feels
light. Like, it just, like, that feels like everything has to go wrong for that total to hit, right? Like, almost everything has to go wrong for Rodgers and Darnold in the offenses to, like, not get to 40 points.
I don't know if this is correct. It says this total started 42.5.
Whoa.
So it's been bet down. There's some flat 40s out there in the market. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. We might be head to head on that one. I may zag 39.5. But it's Sam Darnold. I'm trying to fade Sam Darnold.
I don't know. I definitely like Sam Darnold's not that bad.
You like the really Steelers in that game.
I don't. I think I like the Seahawks.
What? That's not a good Seahawks.
You cut out, but it looked good. Like, if there was video, it looked good.
Yeah, Chris and I can see each other.
It's all good. DK Metcalf touchdown revenge game.
Oh, good call. Oh, DK revenge game, good call.
Yeah.
Oof. You're gonna get me on that under, and I know that is the opposite. But listen, I got to be able to live my life. All right, let's take a deep breath. Let's take a quick podcast break. Let's come on back and get over to the college card with Chris right here on the Kevin Walsh Show.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
All right, we're right back in the mix here, heading over to the college game here on the Kevin Walsh Show. It has been a I feel like overall for myself, solid start to the college football season. Week one was much better than week two. I got beat up, actually, Chris, in the big games in week two. I was on Michigan instead of Oklahoma. And I don't know. I was a little frustrated with that. Like, I did end up liking Michigan, but is there a part of me that maybe would have rather stay away if I, like, could have? Sure. But again, it is what it is. I'll eat the loss there. I got backdoored on Ole Miss, Kentucky. I know Ole Miss front-doored it, but, you know, you lay 8.5, the late field goal from Kentucky. We end up taking a loss on that one. And I had the over in Iowa State, Iowa. That game was trending at half. It obviously fell to a crawl and did not get there. So after a good start in big games week one, it was an 0-3 big games week two. There are five big games this week. I told myself if there's a big game, you're betting it. I might give myself a pass on one of them because I just can't decide. Maybe Chris can convince me. I'll go live. The sad part of it, though, Chris, is it is, by all accounts, the biggest game of the weekend. So I kind of want to start here to almost get it out of the way. But it's a top 15 battle in the SEC. It's Tennessee and Georgia. I am struggling with this one. The Vols started as around a touchdown underdog in this game. This line has been smashed down from 7 to like 4.5 to 4 to 3.5. I think there's been a little bit of buyback in the market here to push this back to 4 and 4.5 in some spots. On my initial breakdown, I liked Georgia just based on how much Kirby has owned the Josh Heupel offense, because that is a real thing. In their four meetings, he's held Josh Heupel's teams to 14.3 points per game, which is absolutely impressive. But I'm not in on Georgia this year. I'm on their win total under. So it'd be better for me if the Vols can actually pull off this upset. I don't want to get like mentally middled, late 3.5, Georgia by 3 type of situation. I don't know if you like this game, but this is the one big game I cannot get to.
So, like, I'm notoriously, like, a Georgia hater. Like, Bama fan, don't like Georgia, really hate betting Georgia. When I bet Georgia, I get agita. And you know me, I'm a Rocky Top guy. Love Tennessee. True. Always trying to get Tennessee as a dog price. Going into my breakdown of this game, I was like, Tennessee. But then I just dove deeper into the domination of Kirby Smart on Josh Heupel and Georgia just over the years on Tennessee. And it's like you said it, Kev, and it's 100% true. It's a real thing. They have, so like in two times since 2010, Tennessee has won. Only twice. Georgia, 2017, 8-0 versus Tennessee. Since 2017, zero times has it been a one-score game. And Tennessee has not broke 20 points. Like, this is like a legit, like, domination of one program over another program, one coach over another coach. Like, I like Georgia a lot, -4.5. But Kev, I think I can get something for you in this game. You don't want to take a spread? Take Georgia's team total over 27.5 then.
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee gave up 26 to Syracuse in the opener.
Yep.
Like, Georgia's offense is way better than them. Like, there's only one time since 2017 Georgia hasn't scored 27. They scored over 27.5. They scored exactly 27. So, like, they're notoriously running up the score and scoring against Tennessee in this series. So, if you don't love the 4.5 price, like, I'm really actually intrigued now the more we're talking this out about this Georgia team total at 27.5. Like, they can get there against Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm not mad at
it. They're a good offense. It's just, it's so weird because I hate, like, I always hate giving into the narrative of, like, oh, like domination. It's like, well, every year is a new year. Every year is a new year. But there's just something about me when it comes to college and it's the same coaches going head to head. Like, it intrigues me more than the NFL, than the MLB, where it's like, no, like, this is like one coach who absolutely outcoaches another coach. And it's very obvious. So I'm all over Georgia in this game. Also, too, like, Nate Frazier, Georgia running back, -110 to score in this game. I mean, he's a clear lead back. But I think Georgia's going to score. I'm betting Frazier minus 110.
I'm not mad at that. I actually think I think in my heart of hearts I lean over. But again, like, because of Tennessee's struggle to score against Kirby, like, that has concerned me a little bit here. I think it's one of those situations where I hate to have people tune in to then be given nothing. Like, that's, you know, Chris was already booked for this, but like, I'm glad that you can kind of give people something. I will just say though, like, those boosts don't expire at kickoff, right? Because this is like the game that every book's giving you a boost for. I think we could have live juice. Either way, Tennessee starts hot. Let me get some Georgia. Game starts slow. Let me get some over. Like, it's one of those things. And here's the promise I will make to the people. If I bet Georgia Tennessee live, I promise you I will tweet that out. I absolutely promise you I will tweet that out to the people. But it's one of those things, Chris, like, I don't want people to tune in and I give them something that I don't even remotely believe. Like, everything else, even if it's not my favorite game of all time, I feel like I can make a really, really good case for, and I really, really like. And that starts then at the top with a really important game for the Clemson Tigers. Georgia Tech-Clemson, where we have seen tons and tons and tons of line movement. I want to try and just, and we're going to get your thoughts in a second, Chris, but I just want to try and explain to people this spread and my read on it. So this number apparently opens at 9. Clemson on the road at Georgia Tech, which is monstrous. Now, I know, like, I saw with my eyes, sometimes those things can be wrong. Like, I saw with my eyes, this thing was over a touchdown. Like, that's a real thing that was out there in the market. And I wonder if that is how they power rate these teams, or if that is tied to Haynes King, the Georgia Tech quarterback, not playing week 2 against Gardner Webb. Did the books say, oh, we don't know if he's going to play? Did the books think he wasn't going to play? Were they meeting it in the middle? Now, every expectation is Haynes King will play in this football game. He has props out, all of that, and available. And that would explain the line movement. But my question would be, is this number what they believe of these teams at full strength? Is there any worries around Haynes King being 85% instead of 100% here? I think that's all stuff that you have to try and factor into this game where, yes, Georgia Tech would love to get an upset, but you're dealing now with a number. You look around, flat 3, 2.5 in a spot, 3.5 in another.
Oh, like, if 2.5 in a spot now?
Like, here's the deal, man. Wow. If you're on Tech, you're on them to upset Clemson and basically bury this team. Because the LSU loss was what it was, but the Troy struggles were damning. And a loss here to Georgia Tech, I don't think Clemson is ranked if they lose this football game. You feel strongly about a side here, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, Kev, I'm hearing people say around the block, bad spot for Clemson, bad spot for Clemson. Please define to me what this means, a bad spot for Clemson. I mean, you just said it, Kev, the line was 9.5. It is down to 2.5 to 3s. To me, this is a great spot for Clemson. It's an overreaction of how bad they played against Troy, but people are forgetting they finished the game with 24 unanswered points, so maybe that's a little momentum going into this game. Dabo Swinney, 4-0 against Georgia Tech as the Clemson head coach. Once again, dominant factor. He knows how to beat this team. Like, you are getting one of the best teams in the country who had one bad game to open up the season against a very good opponent and then didn't blow the doors off in a bounce back spot against not a great opponent. So I get it. This is still a national championship contender playing a middle of the pack ACC team who barely beat Colorado to open up the season in Colorado. If it wasn't for bad coaching that game, Colorado might have won. You made a great point. They're now starting their third string quarterback, who seems like to be their best option. So, like, they didn't even have their starting quarterback in. Like, to me, this is an overreaction on how good Georgia Tech's offense has looked and how bad Clemson has looked. But this is not a bad spot for me for Clemson. This is a great spot. Like, I love Clemson at 2.5, love them at 3. 3.5 things get a little weird for me, but that's just because of my numbers thing. like great parlay piece for me. Mm-hmm. Like some of the other favorites this week. Like I love Clemson. Like this is a prove it spot because Kev, you're on Clemson to win the national championship, right? That was one of your picks.
Yeah.
If they lose this game, and they're now 0-2, 3 games into the season. 1-2, 3 games into the season. The panic alarm sounds off. They know this is a big game. They know it. Dabo sees spreads. He knows how the spread has probably moved down.
Yeah.
Like this is a spot where Clemson is the national contender. We all thought they were going into the season. They have to bury Georgia Tech, make sure that there's never a line like this again when they're playing kind of like a mediocre team, middle of the pack team in the conference.
Yeah, listen, the only thing I didn't like in the breakdown was you reminding me I picked Clemson to win the title. And honestly, like, they're fine. I just don't like them. Like, I just don't. Like, the reality is, Chris, I like Oregon. I like Dante Moore. Dan Lanning, like, can kind of get there. And I feel like he really stuck it to me last week when I was on Oklahoma State, which was as bad of a bet as I'll place all season. But this, I couldn't agree with Chris. Saying that this is a bad spot for Clemson, you're kind of then just like saying that to say it. What right. about this is a bad spot? They're not off of a, they're not like at a rest disadvantage. The other team's quarterback didn't play last week. Like you're selling them at the absolute worst of the market. Like this isn't a sell high. This is a sell low type of situation. If you're going against Clemson, I agree. I just found a prop that I liked a little bit more to stay away from the side, considering I am obviously, as you mentioned, invested in them winning this game.
Right.
I love Cade Klubnik over 20 and a half rush yards. This is a Tech team who's a little bit early season, not very good against the run. And Caden Salter in the opener went 13 for 43. Klubnik did not get anywhere near this within the first two games. In fact, Klubnik through two games has, the college stuff's weird, but 13 carries for -3 yards. Good. We got value. Same exact thing happened last year to start the season, and then it was 11 straight games of at least 21 rushing yards. It didn't get snapped until the playoff game against Texas. Klubnik, to me, will run because they need to start to introduce new elements of this offense as well. I agree with Chris. I think he's on the right side here. I think it's a Clemson spot, but I'm going to back their quarterback, Cade Klubnik, over the 20 and a half rush yards. Miami, South Florida is the next big game up on this card. And we maybe are on different sides here. I'm on the Bulls plus 17 and a half. Are you betting a side in this game?
No, I mean, like, we'll get to it later on with the last big game, but like, like super chalky money line favorites this week. Like, we know the situation. I got the jackpot bonus. Like, I'm just trying to rip some, like, whatever. Like,
yeah,
money line favorites. Like, I'll take Miami on the money line in a parlay. I can't get there with the 17 and a half. Like, you put a gun to my head, I would pick Miami, but like, it's a close game. 17 and a half is a lot of points. South Florida is a good team. They've been playing really good. Their defense is really good. So how about instead of a side, I kind of like the under in this game, Kev. I do. Like South Florida, they limited Boise State to 7 points. They limited Florida last week. Like Miami hasn't really been scoring that much either. Like 45, 27, like, okay. Like 56 and a half is a lot of points for a game where it's supposed to be rainy too. At Hard Rock. We know what that field looks like when it gets wet and rainy too. So I don't have a side in this game. Like I said, Miami money line in a parlay. I don't want to lay the 17 and a half, but 56 and a half, it just, that feels like a lot of points. And if you're on South Florida too to cover in this game, you probably need the game to go under the number as well.
I think it's certainly possible. I will just say, so I was on the under last week in one of my better picks, South Florida, Florida under the number at 56 and a half. And that game was well under. For that, I think I'm like, I'm backing off this total. Now, Miami's kind of been a sharp side. This was 16 and a half up to 17 and a half, but that means I'm getting the best of the number here playing 17 and a half for South Florida. Here's the deal. You know I love some spread math. We're going to do some key spread math, actually, a little bit later on in this show. Miami is laying the same number as Florida. For most people, they'd be like, oh, clear Miami spot. I think Miami being ranked fifth is a crime. They are not even remotely close to the fifth best team in the country. I am not a buyer in this Canes, Cristobal, Beck team. I understand they beat Notre Dame by three at home. They avoided full disaster, but they left that door wide open. Oh, they beat Bethune-Cookman. You want a parade? I'm not throwing you one. South Florida not only beat Florida on the road, who I think is a good football team, okay? I mean, you know, Napier messed that up. They shouldn't have lost. They did. They also beat Boise. And I understand that this Boise team isn't as good as last year's group, but that's still a great win that South Florida has under their belt. So I'm not telling, again, does South Florida need to pull off an upset here? No. If this was 13.5, I'm probably with everybody on the Canes, right? Or I'm certainly not betting South Florida. I don't feel like I am not paying top dollar for the only team in the country who's 2-0 against two top 25 teams. This is not top dollar here. I would be stunned if South Florida won. I'd be more surprised, though, I think, if the Hurricanes win this game by four touchdowns. I just don't think that's who they are. Wow. I've seen Cristobal have let-ups in this spot. I think Beck could as well. I'm back in the Bulls, plus 17.5. We mentioned Florida. So
oh, wait, I got a prop in this game.
Oh, go ahead. Love it.
Shout out Joe Lisi. CJ Daniels, anytime touchdown, plus 115.
Okay. Little anytime.
Three touchdowns in two games so far. Number one receiver.
Perfect.
I like it.
Oh, the wide receiver. Oh, that's the guy who had the great catch against Notre Dame, CJ Daniels?
No, that was Kadarius Toney's brother.
No, Toney was the one who went off. Daniels, I think, had the great catch. Oh,
Daniels, yes, he did. Okay. Yeah. Three touchdowns in two games so far.
Okay, perfect. LSU, Florida. Now, this is one of those. So, backstory is, I liked Florida coming into the year. I didn't dislike LSU. Again, remember, week one, LSU plays the team I bet to win the national title, and I was not on Clemson. Like, I was on an under in that football game, right? So, I have respect for LSU this season. But I liked Florida. And with Florida losing to South Florida, I was like, oh, boy. I'm probably going to get myself a number here that I have no choice to play. The reality is there's been so many Florida bets out there. I can't get to a side. How about this, Chris? There's a 6.5 in the market now. So people have been coming in on the Gators. There's 1.75. The rest of these are touchdowns. But there's been plenty of bets coming in on the Gators despite being 1-1 to hang, if not, stun Brian Kelly and the boys who, you know, let's go full circle, right? LSU beats Clemson. That's their crowning achievement. Well, now we have a lot of questions on Clemson. LSU second game against Louisiana Tech. Well, that wasn't what it was supposed to be. Again, the defense looked good. They were 36.5 point favorites in that game at close. They won that football game by 16. The offense only scored 23 points. Nussmeier's not been like anywhere near as good as his Heisman Trophy price suggests he has actually been in this game. I'm on a prop in this matchup. What are you betting, LSU Florida?
Over.
Ooh.
I mean, like, both these teams, like, the trends are not, like, are not on my side here. Like, they've been trending to unders the last two games, but 46.5, it feels like. I feel like these are two. Despite the lack of play from Nussmeier early on, and despite the way Lagway played last week against South Florida, there is a lot of talent on these offenses. And I think there'll be points in this game, like 46.5 points for two highly priced, highly touted quarterbacks in the Heisman market. Like, why can't we get there, right? Like, defense have been great, but why can't we get to 47 points? It just feels light to me. Maybe I'm missing something, but I can't get to a side either on this game. Like, Florida, to me, over the last few years under Billy Napier, have just been, like, one of the most confusing teams. Like, they expect to be really good. They come out, they look really good, and then they play a sloppy game. They did last week against South Florida. Then it's like, what is this team, right? They might come out hot and beat LSU. They might come out and be like, this team's dead. So I don't want to play a side in this game. However, seeing 6.5 now kind of intrigued me on the LSU side of it, but I still rather play the over 46.5 and pick a side in this game. Again, LSU money line would probably be like my chalky parlay of the week. Cap would be like Clemson, Georgia, Miami, LSU, like the four big favorites. Like, just put them together. Hope everything goes right. Like, that's where I'm looking out from that this side of the LSU game. from a side or spread perspective.
You mentioned the hype though around the quarterbacks, Chris, and obviously you're plugged in, so you understand that there was as much hype on DJ Lagway as there was Garrett Nussmeier. Yep. And for Lagway to be sat here right now 1-1, that's very disappointing. But I still believe in the talent. Anyone who liked Florida this year loves DJ Lagway. I fit into that description. And the reality for DJ Lagway is when he completes passes, these are chunk plays. He averages almost 15 yards per completion in his career. And that's what we saw Klubnik do against LSU. He was not very efficient. He was 19 for 38. So he's 50% of his passes. He threw, though, for 230 yards. 12.1 yards per completion in that matchup. So I'm looking at Lagway here. This is a throw 25 to 30 times type of spot. His passing yards is 208.5. In Lagway's career, when he throws 25, just 25 or more times, he's thrown for at least 220 in every single one of those games. This is one of those spots that I'm going to get a little aggressive. It's my favorite prop of the week. Without a shadow of a doubt, I'll play some alts on Lagway too. It's funny enough, the more they're losing, the better it is for me, right? The further they get behind, the better it is for me. But I also just think this is probably the better way to try and attack this LSU defense. Chunk plays through the air. That's who I think DJ Lagway is. I got to tell you though, for LSU, I'm not saying you have to have it, but this will be a very damaging loss if they don't get it. With road trips still to Ole Miss, Vandy, Bama, and Oklahoma on the schedule, SEC games against A&M, South Carolina still mixed in, there will be trip-up spots in this SEC schedule. They're a touchdown favorite. They're supposed to. But LSU got all the hype in the world for their victory against Clemson and deserved. If this defense plays this way, they are one of the national title contenders, Chris. But if they trip up here to the Gators, especially with the current perception around Florida, that's going to do a lot of damage.
Yeah, 100%. You're right. And like that schedule is like so daunting, right? You get the one big giant out of the way, open up your season, and a non-conference opponent, but a top 10 team in Clemson. Lay basically an egg against Louisiana Tech last week. Now this is your spot to like, you want to be a top team, Nussmeier, you want to be a Heisman favorite, college football playoff top number for LSU, you got to smack Florida. Like you said, you're expected to win. This team is coming up a bad loss. Make it happen again. But it'll be interesting to see, Kev, because I like the Lagway and Florida. Like, it's just, I can't stop thinking about how weird of a team they are. Like, I thought they were going to handle South Florida last week. And they didn't. They played terrible. And now it's just like, I don't know what to expect. Do they come out flat? Do they come out sharp? Yeah. Like, this is like, to me, is like the weirdest game on the board, because Brian Kelly's also known for choking in spots where he should win. And Billy Napier is known for choking in spots where he should win. It just seems like there's no fair outcome here on the side or spread. Love the Lagway passing though. You're right. Like, I'm on the over.
Yep.
I can throw the ball, whether they're trailing, whether they want to make a statement, Lagway should get there easily.
All right. Our last, ranked game. And then Chris and I will just go over anything else that we like. I have, I think, four picks outside of the big game. So we'll go through those. If Chris has any, we'll go through his. Number 8, Notre Dame. Number 16, Texas A&M. I love Notre Dame. I absolutely love Notre Dame, -6.5. I don't know if we're on different sides here, Chris.
We are.
Okay. I'll make my case. Notre Dame, off a bye, under Marcus Freeman, have not just been good. They have been untouchable. Now, I understand that they've not necessarily been playing ranked teams in all those spots, but they've been covering every single one of them. Last year, two games off of a bye, the combined score was 101-10, Notre Dame. 2 years ago, the two games off of a bye were 103-14 combined. That is 204-24. Those four games off of a bye. He's 3-0 against the number. To start this season, entering this year, again, I know they lost at Miami, but it was a, close to pick 'em spot on the road, a field goal game. They lose the coin flip. They've covered bowl games. They covered the IU playoff game. We talk about, everyone knows this, right? And I know I'm about to put this guy in with some lofty company here. Andy Reid off a bye. Marcus Freeman off a bye has been an absolute monster. And I think we're getting a good number. Notre Dame is at home. Notre Dame was laying 2.5 against Miami on the road. If that game was in South Bend, that number might have been 6.5. Well, Miami's ranked 5th. A&M's ranked 16th. And even if I'm selling Miami a little bit, as somebody who's actually bet on both of the first two A&M games, on the over in week one, on the Aggies, the other Aggies, plus 32.5 in week two, A&M's defense has not been their usual level. If Texas A&M thinks they're going to go into South Bend and score 40, and, you know, Marcel Reed's going to light it up, I'll take that challenge. Chris, again, sounds like we're on other sides. I'm laying the 6.5 with Marcus Freeman and the Irish.
Yeah, I'm taking the other side. I'm taking 6.5 with Texas A&M. I was on Notre Dame last year outright when they won in College Station. Mm-hmm. They won by 10 points. But the one thing about that game to now is, like, Texas A&M defense might have gotten worse, but their offense since that game against Notre Dame last year has gotten better. Marcel Reed has found his zone. They have Le'Veon Moss. Like, it just feels like a lot of points for me for a Notre Dame team where they're off the bye, great stats on that, but, like, was not impressed versus Miami. Like, I thought they were going to beat Miami, handle Miami. Jeremiah Love was nowhere to be found. His props are absolutely crazy again this week. I was hoping we get a discount. We're not. -200 to score, 80-plus rushing yards. Like, there's no value there for me. I think Texas A&M is a good team with a good offense, and I don't know if Notre Dame, like, and this is like an, I put it in my notes, like an honest question for you as a Notre Dame fan. Like, who is a better quarterback? I know it's early. Leonard or Carr? Like, who gives them the best chance to succeed? If you're a Notre Dame fan, I'm curious, like, honestly.
Say that again?
Like, who is a better quarterback for Notre Dame? Is it CJ Carr or was it Riley Leonard last year? Like, just, like, overall, yeah. Like, just, like, potential expectation-wise.
So, the dog barking threw me off a bit. We'd love for her to not do that right now.
Barking A&M.
Yeah, that's a bad sign for us. I think CJ Carr has more upside. I think Riley Leonard was safer. I think Riley Leonard last year, what he brought as a running quarterback was under the rate. You know, he had 17 rushing touchdowns, the same amount as Jeremiah Love. Wow. But I'll say this. CJ, I loved what CJ Carr did in the second half. It's a little, and I want to throw up making this comparison because, you know, I'm not super high. It was a little reminiscent of JJ McCarthy on Monday Night Football against the Bears. Like, the more that they just let CJ Carr do, and as the game went on, I thought he got better and better. So I think Carr has higher upside. But again, Leonard was a safer player.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, it feels like, which was interesting because you said you thought it was a good number. I felt like it was like too many points. And when we were talking,
that's fair.
We were like going over the game, I was like, who do you like right before I even knew the spread? I was like, Notre Dame. And when I did my notes, 6.5. Like, I don't know if I can get there with Notre Dame. I'd rather just take the 6.5 with Texas A&M, hold my breath, and hope they cover this game. But you're right. Like, I don't know if it's going to be a lot of points in this game either. Like, Marcel Reed and Le'Veon Moss, they're explosive. Jeremiah Love's explosive, right? CJ Carr has that potential. I do think points might be hard to come by here. Kind of also why I kind of like A&M to keep it close and cover the 6.5.
Look, we'll see if that 6.5 does come into play. I mean, listen, I wish I was, you know, getting a better number, but this is a Notre Dame team that has legit national title expectations.
Sure.
At home, under a touchdown. And again, what I think the bye week changes a lot. This was 6.5, no bye week, I might change my tune a little bit. I think that bye week makes a difference. So just to recap, the big game best bets. I am on Cade Klubnik over 20.5 rushing yards. Chris is going to lay it with Clemson. I am on South Florida plus 17.5. Chris likes the under in that game. Which, what are we seeing? What did you say we were seeing right now for a total there?
It was like 56.5 on FanDuel.
Perfect. Okay. Under in that game, I am on Lagway over the 208.5 passing, favorite prop of the week in Florida LSU. Chris is going to back the over in that game, checking in 46.5. We're head-to-head in Notre Dame, Texas A&M. I apologize to the people, but I got nothing for the people in Georgia, Tennessee. Georgia team total, Chris, feels like the best bet for you in that game?
Yeah, 27.5. I like that. Okay. I mean, listen, you can lay it with them too. I like that, but just take the team total just in case, you know, Tennessee gets the job done, I do think Georgia could still put up those points. Like, Tennessee's defense is not going to control Georgia the whole game.
Yeah, like, who? Maybe, you know, this Joey Aguiar's got some juice that we didn't see coming. So, like I said, I have four picks outside of the card. Did you have anything you wanted to throw out beyond the big games?
System play.
Go ahead.
It's my college football championship. It's Vanderbilt. It's South Carolina. Two of my favorite quarterbacks, Diego Pavia, Lenora Sellers. I don't even care. They could open a total at 75.5. It's 48.5. I'm betting over in that game. Just betting over.
I knew you'd be on that game. I took some time to break down that game. It's my favorite bet outside of the big games. I love South Carolina -3. I know it's a wheel play.
No, it's not.
I've seen the numbers dropping, I'll make the comparison to Packers Commanders. That number fell down to flat 3, and I thought it was time to get in. This number's down to flat 3. That is unimaginable to me. Listen, I thought South Carolina may have a bit of a down season, tough schedule. South Carolina is better than Vanderbilt, and they are at home for this football game. So to get a field goal here is wild. And a lot of people have been making the comparison because both of these teams have played Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's two games so far have been South Carolina and Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt was more dominant in the game. That's true. South Carolina probably should have did a little bit better on offense in that game because the passing numbers were solid. Defense was pretty strong. Where we saw Vandy dominate the second half, 34-0. They were down double digits, though, at halftime in that game to Va Tech. But as I said, spread math. South Carolina was laying 7.5 on a neutral to Va Tech. Vanderbilt laid 2.5. Caught 2.5 at Va Tech. So let's just call home field advantage 2.5 points. That would say that Vandy and Va Tech are even, and therefore South Carolina and Vanderbilt are looking at about a touchdown difference between the football teams. You can say that that was wrong, but it would have to be a touchdown wrong to get to -3 at South Carolina. I'm backing Lenora Sellers and the Gamecocks. I was going to play the under in Bama, Wisconsin. It's dropped too far. I do think that's a lower scoring game. I am looking at some like all team total parlays for the big dogs this week. Ohio State, Texas, Ole Miss. I think those teams can get through their numbers, but I'm likely going to kind of dance partner it up there in some spots where I trust the offenses. I'm going to play Duke +1.5. At Tulane. I know Duke let people down against Illinois. They lost that turnover battle 5-0. They move the football against what is undeniably a 10x better defense in Illinois. Darian Mensah's statement game going back to his Tulane stomping grounds. I'll take the 1.5 with Manny Diaz and the Blue Devils. Then we get ugly. Oh boy. I'm taking Purdue +21.5, a 21.5 popped. I almost wish it didn't because I was going to stay away at 20.5. Purdue is hosting USC. Last year, USC on the road against real Big Ten teams, Michigan, Minnesota, Maryland. They were favored by 4.5, 9.5, and 6.5. They lost every single one of those games. I would be stunned if they lost to Purdue, but I do not think that they are going to go out there and cover that game, win it by 14 or so. Slow start for them on offense. And if you thought that was ugly, oh boy. I'm taking UMass +35.5 against Iowa. Iowa in week one laid 39.5 to Albany. They won 34-7. Offense couldn't even, if they pitched their shutout, they still wouldn't have covered. Albany in week two played Delaware State as a 12.5-point favorite and lost outright, giving up 37, which is 3 more than Iowa scored. Iowa might win this game 24-0. That's a comfy cover. Give me UMass +35.5. And that, Chris, is the college football card.
System play for me. One last one. Give me the Temple Owls +23.5 at home against Oklahoma. I mean, this Evan Simon for the Owls, slinging the ball down the field. You might be right. EJ Warner was not good. He was holding Temple back. Changed my take on him. This Evan Simon's great. Also, letdown spot. Oklahoma beats Michigan at home. They go to Philly, unranked team. Temple's been playing hot, 23.5. I think Temple could hang around, Kev. I really do.
Sharp. I like it. I like it a lot. Again, just to remind people for myself, Duke plus 1.5, South Carolina minus 3, UMass plus 35.5, Purdue plus 21.5. And then in the big games, Lagway over 208.5 passing, Klubnik over 20.5 rushing, South Florida plus 17.5, Notre Dame minus 6.5. What a show. What a ride. And what an appearance for my guy, Chris Koski there. Chris, fantastic stuff, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a lot of fun. Love working with you.
Yes, we will definitely do this again multiple times throughout this football season. That is going to do it for us here, though, on the Kevin Walsh Show. Kevin Walsh, of course, folks, a Sports Grid podcast. We will see you next time.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.